அளவுக்கு உங்ககிட்ட சொன்ன சம்பவம் Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadane Narasishu Srinivari Bhaskaratare Prasadane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Rishananda Sri Advaita Gadana Shrosti Gaurava Parvinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sri Pranam Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4 Chapter 25 Verse 1 Narada Vivancha
Narada Vivancha
Saikada
Saikada
Panchasam,
Panchasam,
Asugam,
Asugam,
Vicham,
Vichakram,
Vichakram, Ekaksham,
Ekaksham,
Venam,
Pancha,
Pancha,
Panduram,
Panduram,
Narada Uvacha,
Narada Uvacha,
Saekada Maheshvaso,
Saekada Maheshvaso,
Dharakam, Panchasam, Asugam,
Dharakam, Panchasam, Asugam,
Vicham, Vichakram, Ekaksham,
Visham Vichakram Epaksham
Srivenam Pancha Bandham
Srivenam Pancha Bandham
Narada Vacha
Narada Vacha
Saekata Maheshvaso
Saekata Maheshvaso
Gatam Panchasvam Asugam
Gatam Panchasvam Asugam
Visham Vichakram Epaksham
Visham Vichakram Epaksham
Srivenam Pancha Bandham
Srivenam Pancha Bandham
Narada Uvacha
Saekada Maheshvaso
Gatam
Panchasvam Asugam
Visham Vichakram Ekaksham
Nivenam Pancha Banduram
Narada Uvacha
Narada Uvacha
Saekada Maheshvaso
Saekada Maheshvaso
Gatam Panchasvam Asugam
Gatam Panchasvam Asugam
Visham Dvichakram Ekaksham
Visham Dvichakram Ekaksham
Trivenum Pancha Banturam
Trivenum Pancha Banturam
Narada Uvacha
Narada Uvacha
Narada said
King
Puranjana
Ekada
Once upon a time,
Mahavishvasa,
carrying a strong bow and arrows,
Ratham,
chariot,
Panchasvam,
five horses,
Asuga,
very swiftly, and Visham,
two arrows,
Vichakram,
two wheels.
Eka,
one,
Aksham,
Axel,
three, Venom,
flags,
Pancha,
five,
Banduram,
obstacles.
Translation of the Great Sage Narada continued, my dear king, once upon a time, King Puranjana took up his great bow and equipped with golden armor and a quiver of unlimited arrows and accompanied by 11 commanders. He sat on his chariot driven by five swift horses and went to the forest named Pancha Prastha. He took with him in that chariot two explosive arrows. The chariot itself was situated in two wheels and one revolving axle. On the chariot were three flags, one ring, one chariot driver, one sitting place, two poles which to harness, the harness fixed, five weapons and seven coverings. The chariot moved in five different styles, and five obstacles lay before it. All the decorations of the chariot were made of gold. These three verses explain how the material body, the living entity, is under the control of the qualities of external energy. The body itself is the chariot, and the living entity is the owner of the body. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, the no sunyatam dehe. The owner of the body is called the dehi and is situated within the body, especially within the heart. The living energy is driven by one chariot driver. The chariot itself is made of three gunas, three qualities of material nature, as confirmed from Bhagavad Gita, Yantra, Rudani, Mayaya. The word Yantra means carriage. The body is given by material nature, and the driver of that body is Paramatma, the super soul. The living entity is seated within the chariot. This is the actual position. The living entity is always being influenced by the three qualities, sattva, rajas, and tamas. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sri Virguna Maya Bhavaya. The living entity is bewildered by the three qualities of material nature. These three qualities are described in this verse as three flags. By a flag, one can come to know who the owner of the chariot is. Similarly, by influence of the three qualities of material nature, one can easily know the direction in which the chariot is moving. In other words, one who has eyes to see and understand how the body is being driven and influenced by the particular quality of material nature. In these three verses, the activity of the living entity is ascribed to prove how the body becomes influenced by the qualities of ignorance, even when a person wants to be religious. Narada Muni wanted to prove to King Prashnavaisha that the king was influenced by tamagun, the quality of ignorance, even though the king was supposed to be very religious. According to Karmakandiya, the process of food activities, a person performs various sacrifices directed by the Vedas and all those sacrifices, animal killing or experimenting on the life of animals to test the power of egg mantras and enjoying. Animal killing is certainly conducted under the influence of the mode of ignorance. Even though one may be religiously inclined, animal sacrifice is recommended in the Shastras, not only in the Vedas, but even in the modern scriptures of other sects. These animal sacrifices are recommended in the name of religion, but actually animal sacrifice is meant for the person in the mode of ignorance. When such people kill animals, they can at least do so in the name of religion. However, when the religious system is transcendental, like the Vaishnava religion, there is no place for animal sacrifices. Such a transcendental religious system is recommended by Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions and do not fear. Because King Prashnavarisha was engaged in performing various sacrifices in which animals were killed, Narada Muni pointed out that such sacrifices are influenced by the mode of ignorance. From the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Projita Kaitavotra, all kinds of religious systems that are involved in cheating are completely kicked out of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavad Dharma, the religion dealing with one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, animal sacrifice is not recommended. In the performance of Sankirtan Ravya, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, there is no recommendation for animal sacrifices. In these three verses, King Prashnavarisha is going to the forest to kill animals is symbolic of the living entities being driven by the mode of ignorance and thus engaging in different activities for sense gratification. The material body itself indicates that the living entity is already influenced by the three modes of material nature that he is driven to enjoy material resources. When the body is influenced by the mode of ignorance, this infection becomes very acute. When it's influenced by the mode of passion, infection is at the symptomatic stage. However, when the body is influenced by the mode of Buddhism, materialist infection becomes purified. The ritualistic ceremonies recommended in religious systems is certainly on the platform of goodness. But because within this material world, even the mode of goodness is sometimes polluted by the other qualities, a man of goodness is sometimes driven by the influence of ignorance. Now, as herein described, that King Varajana once went to the forest to kill animals. And this means that he, the living entity, came under the influence of the mode of ignorance. The forest in which King Varajana engaged in hunting was named Panchaprastha. The word pancha means five, and this indicates the objects of the five senses. The body has five working senses, namely the hands, legs, tongue, rectum, and genitals. By taking full advantage of these working senses, the body enjoys material life. A chariot is driven by five horses, which represents five senses and organs, namely the eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue. These sense organs are very easily attracted to by the sense objects. Consequently, the horses are described as moving swiftly. On the chariot, King Prashnavarisha kept two explosive weapons, which may be compared to ahankara, or false ego. This false ego is typified by two attitudes. I am this body, and everything in my bodily relationship belongs to me, mamata. The two wheels of the chariot may be compared to the two moving faculties, namely sinful life and religious life. The chariot is decorated with a few blanks, which represent a few modes nature. The five kinds of obstacles or uneven roads represent the five kinds of air passing within the body. These are prana, apana, udana, samana, and jnana. The body itself is covered by seven coverings, namely skin, muscle, fat, blood, marrow, bones, and sin. The living entity is covered by three subtle material elements and five gross elements. These are actually obstacles placed before the living entity in the path of liberation from material bondage. The word rasmi in this verse indicates the mind. The word nida is also synonymous with nida. It indicates the nest where a bird takes rest. In this case, neither is the heart where the living entity is situated. Living entity sits in one place only. Causes of bondage are two, namely lamentation and illusion. In material existence, the living entity simply hankers to get something he can never get. Therefore, he is an illusion. As a result of being in this illusory situation, the living entity is always lamenting. Thus, lamentation and illusion described herein as the dvi kupara, the two posts of bondage. The living entity carries out various desires through five different processes which indicate the workings of the five working senses. The golden arrows and dress indicate that the living entity is influenced by the quality of arousal or passion. One who has a good deal of money or riches is especially driven by the motive of passion. Being influenced by the motive of passion, one desires so many things for enjoyment, especially in the world. The 11 commandments represent the 10 senses and the mind. The mind is always making plans for with the 10 commandments to enjoy the material world. The forest named Panchaprastha, where the king went to hunt, is a forest of the five sense objects, form, taste, sound, smell, and touch. Thus, in this verse, the Narada Muni describes the position of the material body and the engagement of the living energy within. The great sage Narada continued, my dear king, once upon a time, King Paranjana took up his great bow and equipped with a golden armor and a quiver of unlimited arrows, accompanied by 11 commanders. He sat on his chariot, driven by five swift horses, of one forest named Panchaprastha. He took with him in that chariot two explosive arrows. The chariot itself was situated in two wheels and one revolving axle. The chariot, on the chariot were three flags, one ring, one chariot driver, one sitting place, two poles to which the harness was fixed, five weapons, and seven coverings. The chariot moved in five different styles, and five obstacles laid before it. All the decorations of the chariot were made of gold. So we had a previous analogy of the body to a city, and the jiva is King Paranjana. Here we have another analogy of the body and King Paranjana. He's in a chariot. So this analogy is also in the Upanishads, where it's described that the Atma is the passenger in the chariot, and the intelligence is the driver, and the chariot is the body, and the five knowledge gathering senses are the horses, and the minds the reins. So this is rather similar, but a little more elaborate. It's got three flags, represents material nature, and the gold represents Rajagun. And various other things like lamentation and illusion, etc. So the main idea is that here King Paranjana is going out to hunt in the forest. And this is particularly mentioned because the king to whom Narada Muni is speaking was involved in animal sacrifices. And he would go hunting and kill the animals and bring them back for sacrifice. And Narada Muni wanted to stop that. So here we find the living entity in a chariot going out to hunt specifically. Though in general, we see that an analogy in the Upanishad simply means the living entity is in a chariot, wandering around in the material body, dragged by his senses to different objects. But particularly because King Paranjana was, Prashnavarincha was attached to hunting, therefore he makes this example of the king getting in his chariot with the bow and arrow and then going out to hunt in the forest. In either case, the living entity is bewildered and he tries to get some enjoyment by some means in the material world. It could be by hunting, or it could be by doing the sacrifices, or it could be by so many other things. In any case, he is actually different from the chariot and the horses, and the driver, and the reins, just as he is different from the city in which he is living along with his queen. But unfortunately, the living entity doesn't realize all of this. He doesn't realize that he cannot get enjoyment through that city, the material body, or through the chariot, which is like the material body. No matter what he does in this material world, it is all matter, prakriti, transformations of prakriti. So the sense objects are made out of prakriti. Senses are made out of prakriti. And the mind and intelligence are made out of prakriti. Everything is actually prakriti. And the jiva is not prakriti. But somehow or other, due to ahankara, the jiva is struggling to get enjoyment through senses by contacting sense objects in this world. So this is the big illusion. And actually the atma, or the soul, is situated there in the body, and he doesn't have to do this, but because of this illusion, this bewilderment, he continually tries to get enjoyment. So therefore, he continually drives around in this chariot, or he sits in that city and goes out through the different doors, that is the gates, that is the different senses, and tries to get enjoyment continually. And so this happens life after life after life. Every life we get a new body, and death we give that one up. Then by karma we get another body. So the process is repeated over and over. Why? Because the jiva is continually bewildered. So the only way out of this is to stop that bewilderment or that ignorance. But that is very difficult. The jiva continues in that bewilderment birth after birth, so what's going to stop it? So the Lord, of course, makes different arrangements in this world so that the jiva can understand this foolishness. One, of course, he makes everything temporary, so one should get frustrated with this attempt. So life after life, one tries to get enjoyment, and he may seem to get enjoyment, then he must lose the enjoyment. By that repeated experience, birth after birth, the jiva should eventually get frustrated and tired of this position. So that is one aspect by which the Lord hopes to educate the jiva. The other, of course, is by the law of karma. So through the law of karma, by particular acts of enjoyment, the jiva gets bad results. And by other types of actions, he gets good results. In either case, it's enjoyment he's trying for. But he will get bad results when those acts are violent and disobey the Vedic literatures. And he will get good results when he tries to follow these scriptures. So in one sense, King Prashnavarishan was following the recommended path, the scriptures. And he would kill the animals off them and sacrifice. So that was allowed in the Vedas, and certainly he can get some advantage that way, some benefit in the material world. But both of these activities actually lead to bondage in the material world, so they're ultimately not considered very good. So the activities itself are faulty, whether we do pious activities or sinful activities. Both of them lead to reactions in the material world and bondage again. So of course it is better to do pious activities than sinful activities. With sinful activities we have to suffer more. With pious activities we get the enjoyment, but then of course it is temporary. But by doing the pious activities in the proper way, eventually one should become detached from the material world. If one does it improperly, of course, one will simply suffer again in the material world. But if we do them properly, eventually we should become detached from the material world. So this is an arrangement in the material world by the Supreme Lord so that the jiva can advance. So these are the arrangements within prakriti for the jiva to get some elevation. Then the Lord also makes arrangement by coming as avatar and showing his beautiful form and attracting the jivas. He also gives scripture, and by which we can get knowledge. so those people who become curious about what is the meaning of life, then they can go to scriptures and they can get answers. So there's scripture. And then there are devotees of the Lord. So by contacting devotees of the Lord, one can get the meaning of scripture. We also have deity forms of the Lord. So this way, the jiva can see forms of the Lord. And we have the process of bhakti in the material world, which is recommended in the scriptures and taught by the devotees. And in bhakti, of course, we have chanting of the name of the Lord. So these are all ways in which Krishna manifests mercy to help the jivas in the material world, while at the same time, he is only the witness and he does not interfere with the enjoyment of the jivas. But by this arrangement, the jivas have opportunities to advance and eventually cut the bondage of the material world and get out of this ignorance. So the process is a little difficult for the jivas, because once one is in bewilderment, one will not look at the Lord, one will not see scripture, one will not be attracted to devotees, etc. So the initial process is simply to experience the material world and the happiness and suffering, etc., life after life, until one gets tired of that. And to experience sinful reactions as well as punyas. And try to make the best possible use of a bad bargain by doing punyas rather than papa, and eventually becoming a little detached to the material world. So for normal people, these are the processes. The other thing is the mercy of devotees in the material world. By that mercy, jivas who are even unqualified eventually get some qualification to advance in bhakti. So in this way, the Supreme Lord helps the living entities in the material world. So he's not indifferent, but he waits for the jiva to take interest, and then he provides different methods for them.
Suffering is also mercy of the Lord.
It's mercy in the sense that it's meant to teach him not to do violent activities. Just as the punishment in the prison is mercy also to correct the prisoner. Well, actually, no. It's a mixture, actually. Of course, scripture is scripture, so we can't say it's ignorant itself. It's better than pure mode of ignorance. But we do have different religious processes, and when you follow those processes, you don't incur karma. Nevertheless, we have people in tamagun, rajagun, and sattvagun, and they are given different prescriptions for activities so that they don't have to suffer in the material world. Those things which are touched by tamas are inferior. So people in tamagun will do tamagun activities, and if they follow scripture, of course, they advance. So there are the sudras follow sudra rules, and eventually they advance by that. That's tamas. So once we get to the mode of passion, then of course the rules are a little more complicated for us, and we can follow those rules. And within those rules, there has to be some provision for enjoyment, because mode of passion means enjoyment in the material world. So there is concessions for those people, plus restrictions. So the concession is they can kill the animals and eat the animals. The restriction is they have to do the sacrifice. And of course this applies to the mode of ignorance also, though normally people in the mode of ignorance are too simple, so they can't do these things. So therefore, people in the Rajagun, like Kshatriyas, they will do these things more than the people in Tamagun. And when one gets to Sattvagun, one should theoretically give up attachment to the enjoyment of the material world and therefore abandon such activities as these. So basically the animal sacrifices are for people in the mode of passion rather than ignorance. But because of the killing involved, that is ignorance. That is ignorant portion. So it's that Rajagun is also influenced by ignorance. But nevertheless, these things are allowed in the Vedas for certain types of people. So of Karmakanda, they allow these things. And of course, we have Rajagun, and Kshatriya is allowed to express Rajagun in the material world. And his rules were of the following, according to Shastra. So he is encouraged in those gunas and also purified by those rules.
In this allegory, it is mentioned golden chariot. What is this? Golden chariot?
Mode of passion.
Golden
chariot. Mode of passion.
Rajagun.
சரி இப்போ போகலாமா போய் பாருங்க எங்கே போனாங்க எனக்கு தெரியல
ஒரு ஏன் செப்பலை தருது ஏன் செய்யாது அன்னைக்கு ஒரு ஏன் செப்பலை தருது